Rosa Parks entered the world on February 4, 1913, in Tuskegee, Alabama, a place already heavy with meaning in African American history. Tuskegee was not just another Southern town. It was associated with Black education, self-improvement, and the long struggle for dignity after slavery. The name itself called to mind the work of Booker T. Washington, the Tuskegee Institute, and the complicated hopes of African Americans who believed that learning, discipline, and perseverance might carve out a place of respect in a nation still determined to deny them equality. Yet the Alabama into which Rosa Louise McCauley was born was also a land ruled by segregation, intimidation, and racial hierarchy. The Civil War had ended nearly half a century earlier, but the promise of freedom remained painfully incomplete. In the early 20th century, Black families in Alabama lived under laws and customs designed to remind them daily that white society considered them inferior. Her parents, James McCauley and Leona Edwards McCauley, belonged to that generation of African Americans born after emancipation but still trapped inside the machinery of racial discrimination. James worked as a carpenter and stonemason, while Leona was a teacher. Their occupations reveal something important about the world Rosa inherited. Skilled labor, education, respectability, faith, and family pride were not abstract ideals in her childhood, they were survival tools. In a society that denied Black citizens full protection under the law, families had to build strength within the home, the church, and the community. They taught children how to carry themselves with dignity, how to avoid unnecessary danger, and how to recognize injustice even when they were too young to challenge it openly. Rosa's earliest years were shaped by this tension between tenderness and threat, between the love of family and the hostility of the world beyond the doorstep. When Rosa was still very young, her parents separated. Her mother took Rosa and her younger brother, Sylvester, to live with Rosa's maternal grandparents, Sylvester Edwards and Rose Edwards, in Pine Level, Alabama, near Montgomery. This move became one of the defining facts of Rose's childhood. The Edwards household was modest, hardworking, and deeply rooted in values of faith, self-respect, and racial pride. It was also a home where children learned early that the world could be dangerous. Rose's grandfather, a formerly enslaved man's son, was known for his courage and refusal to bow emotionally before white intimidation. Family stories remembered him as a man who kept watch at night with a shotgun when white violence threatened the community. For a child like Rosa, this was not theatrical heroism. It was the atmosphere of childhood. Fear was real, but so was resistance. The South of Rosa Parks' childhood was governed by Jim Crow, the system of laws and customs that enforced racial segregation after Reconstruction. These rules separated Black and white people in schools, transportation, public buildings, hospitals, parks, cemeteries, and nearly every visible space of civic life. The cruelty of Jim Crow did not lie only in separation. It lay in humiliation. Black people were not simply assigned separate facilities, they were assigned inferior ones. They were expected to step aside, speak carefully, wait longer, accept less, and pretend that injustice was normal. Children absorbed this world before they fully understood it. They saw which doors they could enter, which seats they could take, which fountains they could drink from, and which roads of ambition were blocked before they began walking them. Rosa Parks later became famous for refusing to give up her seat on a Montgomery bus, but the emotional roots of that refusal stretched back to Pine Level. As a child, she saw the rituals of segregation everywhere. White children rode to school on buses while Black children often walked. That image stayed with her. It was simple and devastating. One group of children transported as if their comfort mattered, another group left to walk dusty roads as if hardship were their natural condition.